stopping. If I stop, wouldn't be no need of trying to start back up. We just going to preach. I'm going to tell you, where we at this morning in preaching in the morning hour? We're at Philadelphia. That church of brotherly love. A brother that had enough love for one another. And enough love for God, my friend. That they set aside all their jealousies. And set aside all of their self. And served and labored for God. That souls might be brought into the kingdom. Huh? I know that's right. He said to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things. Notice how our Lord approaches this church. Notice what He says. He that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Well, I wonder what it was is wanting to open up and what it was is wanting to close. I'm telling you, friend, it was doors that is trying to open and doors that is trying to close, and is opening them and closing them for the purpose that we might do business for the King. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, I titled it the message to Philadelphia, the King's Business. I'm telling you, friend, we're out on the King's business. We are ambassadors for Christ. We've been called aside to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But while sinners die and go to hell, the saints said, I'd lay by and let them go off in the air of their way without ever proclaiming the love of God that they might be saved. Hallelujah to God. He that openeth and no man closeth and closeth and no man openeth. I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. He approached this church as the administrator of the church, as the one that's calling the shots over the church. And He is the head of the church. That's right. He cometh. He is holy. He that is true. He that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth. I'm here to tell you, my friend, He came as the administrator of the church, opening doors and closing doors of opportunity that God's saints might go into all the world and share the gospel. And if we're not willing to go to our neighbor, we'll not go to the world. Bless our hearts. God help us. God help us. Folks, my heart is broke when I contemplate the condition that our world is in, and I realize from the Scripture where the world's headed. But I'm telling you, I look at the condition of the church, and I wonder how long, O God, holy and true, how long wilt Thou continue to let things go like they're going? I wonder how much longer we can go without God putting His divine hand into the midst of the situation that's in most of our Baptist churches. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm afraid that most of us are right in Sardis. We've got a name that we live, but we're dead in 4 o'clock. Amen. If we had life, we'd be carrying that life to others that they might have life. Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And God the Father sent the Son into the world with life that He might give life to whosoever will. Let them come and drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And the church says, come. And let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. I'm telling you, the King's business. Now, I'll get there in just a minute to it, too. This church in Philadelphia was in a right relationship with the Lord. There is not one word of complaint mentioned to them. Not one. He didn't fuss them out. He didn't rebuke them. There is not one hint of rebuke whatsoever to the church at Philadelphia. There's only one other church like that, and it was the church at Smyrna. It was a church that was full of persecution. And full of persecution and tribulation. And Jesus come to them in wonderful, tender love and compassion. But this church that had absolutely, they had absolutely nothing that He could find to complain about. He come to them, my friend, as He that hath the key of David, a man, He that opens a door and no man can shut and shuts doors that no man can open. He come to them, my friend, as the King doing the King's business, opening and closing doors that old sinners might hear the gospel and be saved. And it was a church that had a little strength, in a church that had kept His word, in a church that had have not denied his name and a church that he promised, if you hold fast until I come, I'll put none other burden upon you. God help us, Brother Doug. God help us this morning. Look, here was a church, my friend, that realized the opportunity that God had set before them. They had a little strength. They had kept His word. They had not denied His name. That's right. They had not denied His name. And they had kept His word and they had a little strength. And because of that, He said, I'll set a door before you that no man can close it. And He said, because they had the strength, that He set gave them an opportunity, my friend, to walk through an open door that souls and might be saved and sinners might be brought to God. And they seized that opportunity with what little strength that they had. Oh, they had a little strength, not much strength, but a little strength. But they took what power they had and what grace God had given them and seized the open door God had set in front of them that they might labor in the vineyards for the cause of Christ. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we're stingy. Amen. We're lazy. Amen. And we're stingy. Amen. And we're sorry when it comes to this thing of evangelism, missionary work, and winning souls for God. Amen. Huh? That's right. They had a right relationship. They had a right relationship. And He approaches them in His rightful character of being sovereign and supreme, the one who directs all the activity of the church. If you was to read Acts chapter number 1, church, you'd read that where the Lord, while He was here on earth, my friend directed the church, but after He was taken up, He gave commandment to the apostles by the Holy Ghost to carry on the activities of the house of God. Now I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost ain't got enough liberty in most Baptist churches today to carry on any activity. And there's so much flesh involved that he's got a bulldoze through the flesh to carry on the spiritual activities at the house of God. Y'all ain't going to blow up at me, are you now? Now I'm trying to get lined out on this. The church of brotherly love. They loved, and that's where we closed out, buddy, in Sunday school. On the thought of love. That church was brotherly love. Now I want you to notice. He announces to them three facts concerning Himself. He said, He that is holy and He that is true. That shows His character and His conduct. Holiness is that hidden fact, and righteousness is its outward manifestation. He said, I'm holy and I'm true. He said, everything in my heart is holy, and it proves my character. And everything that I do is true, and it proves my righteousness. He said, I am holy, and I'm righteous. I've got it inwardly, and I've got it outwardly. Everybody look right up here. I chided you last week, but I'm here to try to bless you this week. He come to a little church that apparently had it all right on the inside, and had it all right on the outside. And they had a little strength, and they tapped His word, and they had not denied His name. It was that little group that had a ride in and out that Jesus approached and give them an open door that they might evangelize the world for the glory of God. Amen. What about that? Quite a contrast. I do wish I'd use a little more hairspray. A little contrast. A little contrast to the church at Sardis, wasn't it? I'm sweating. I like it like that. Hallelujah to God. If I can get some of y'all sweating, get you under conviction, we'll get something done. That's right. That hidden. He said, I'm right on the inside and I'm right on the outside. I'm holy and I'm true. Or I'm holy and I'm righteous. And He said, I'm approaching a little church that apparently is holy on the inside and righteous on the outside. They've got a little bit of character and they've got righteousness a living. And they've just got a little bit of strength. He said, if you would just hold on to that little strength. God, if you just hold that little strength. He said, I'm going to set before you an open door of evangelism that'll bring glory to God. I've wondered how it can be done. I've thought about missionary endeavors. My God, when He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, I've thought about claiming evangelists and missionaries and going into the uttermost of preaching the gospel. I'm getting ready to get some of you. I thought about the internet. Hallelujah to God. Woo! And the possibility of a little old barefoot boy from Indiana standing behind a pulpit with a congregation of 50 people and preaching all over the world the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Old Brother Steve called me this morning. He said, Brother Hall, he said, I just got to praying, wanted to call and tell you that. He said, it ain't much, but he said, me and Tammy want to send you $200 down there to help on the first month pay on the internet to get the gospel out. You know what I believe? I believe he settled in up there in Minnesota a couple of days, and he's like I used to be sometimes at the furniture store that I own, and no customers come in. Very lonely. Bob White? Whippoorwill. Oh, I wish somebody would come by. That's the way old Brother Steve and Sister Tammy's going to be in a few weeks. Oh, would to God. Somebody would come by, just anybody. Lord, send by an enemy. Let the devil knock on the door. Anybody, I got to hear a sound. Are you listening to me? And old Brother Steve said, Lord said, Steve, wouldn't it be nice to be sitting here in all that solitude and be able to walk over and turn a button just like turning on a radio and hear old Brother Hall down there ripping around her. Hear a good hymn by the Island Ford Baptist Church Choir as they stand up there singing How Great Thou Art. Singing one of the old hymns that bring joy bells. A ringing down in your soul. And the Lord said, you need to send them $200, bless God, to help them down there. Huh? Are y'all listening to what Brother Hall's saying? I'm here to tell you, my friend, he said, I'm holy on the inside and I'm righteous on the outside. He said, I got character and I got conduct. And because of my character and conduct, and because you got character and conduct, I've set before you an open door of opportunity to sow the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm about to get happy. Now, I want you to hear this. I do wish I'd have used hairspray now. I want you to hear this. According to John 14:6, an individual that does not possess both of these is lost. Jesus said, I am the way, gentlemen, denoting direction, the truth, righteousness, and the life, at conduct and that holiness. Now, I'm telling you, without character and without conduct to back it up, a man or a woman is lost. What Jesus is telling this crowd, unless your life is illustrated by my life, or except your life identifies with my life, you cannot be saved. I'm here to tell you, this bunch of cussing Baptists, tobacco chewing, Bermuda short wearing, beer sucking, beer guzzling, skirt chasing bunch of whoremongering devils. I wouldn't give you a dime for them. They don't have truth. Neither do they have righteousness. Neither is their conduct right. And they're lost and are going to hell. No wonder our mission endeavors are failing. I read an article that when World War II ended, it might have been David Eisenhower or Douglas MacArthur, asked the United States to send 5,000 missionaries to Japan. He said, if we'll just send 5,000 missionaries to Japan, they're ready to receive the gospel. They're ready to change if we'll send them. You know what the good old American Baptist done? They drew back in their little shell of confidence and their little comfort zone in America and let Japan go to hell without God. And she's still going to hell without God. And she's on the threshold of collapse today and becoming an enemy of our own country. Because we failed to carry the gospel to them. Amen. Before the communist overthrow in China, missionaries that were there begged the American and the Southern Baptist Convention to send missionaries to China to
to preserve it for God and to win souls in it and preserve it as a nation for God. And they failed. What are you saying? I'm saying, my friend, that there was no strength. There was no power. There was no desire for the souls of men and no love in the hearts of men. And they let those countries die and go to hell. That's right. Now, and I've just about preached my message, but I'm going to give you a little more that I've got written down here. He said also, not only he that is holy and he that is true, but he that hath the key of David. Amen. That announcement as the key of David identifies him in his official position. He said, I have got the key. Amen. He's also got the key of hell and death.
Amen.
But he's also got the key of David. And ladies and gentlemen, the key of David denotes a kingly position. He said, I am the King of Kings. Don't nobody leave me. I'm fixing to get us somewhere. He said, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look here. And the key that he had opened the door to the territories that the king possessed. And he gave him an open door to his domain that they might go and find the lost sheep that were living in God's wonderful domain. Did you catch that? If you didn't, I'll run it by you again. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. That is his administration.
Amen.
I open a door. I've got the key to open a door. What door do you think he's open? Hey, well, he said, I holdeth the key of David, which is an insignia of kingship, who has opened the door. And the suggestion is that it is a passport given to his dominion for the transaction of his business. I'm telling you, friend, we ought to be about the king's business. If he's opened the door for us, we ought to go forth a bearing precious seed. And if we do, weeping, doubtless we'll come again, rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying the king has opened the door to his territory and has set before us an opportunity to go and do the king's business for the glory of God. Jesus in Luke chapter number 2. As a young boy, his parents went to Jerusalem to worship. And while they were there, Jesus tarried behind and his parents left. And I believe they'd went a day's journey, maybe 2 days' journey, and they realized he was gone, wasn't in their midst. When they went back, they found Jesus sitting down in the midst of doctors and lawyers and talking to those men. And they chided him and rebuked him for what he had done. And my friend, his reply to his mom and daddy was, "Wish you not, that I must be about my Father's business." I'm telling you, friend, there is a business to do that far exceeds any business that we've got to do in this world. Amen to God. It is the King's business. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that little church, that little group, and I'm going to get to it in a minute, that had strength and had just a little strength and had not denied His name and had kept the Word of God. He said, I'll just set before you an open door. And by the way, that wasn't a reward for them. The reward come later, making them pillars in the house of God. And it wasn't because of their fidelity. It was simply the fact that they had labored and had held on to what little Holy Ghost power they had in the midst of a crooked and a perverse society. They had maintained their strength, and God looked down on them and in sovereignty chose them.
Amen.
To go into the world and seize that opportunity of preaching the gospel.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Ain't we? I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying it. Thanks be unto God.
Yes.
Wish you not that I must be about my Father's business, transacting His business and not ours. Most of us spend more time, and I realize there's a certain amount of our own business we got to take care of, because the Bible said that we ought not to be slothful in our business. So there is business of our own that we need to take care of. But side by side with our business is the King's business. And I believe if we'll put Him first and take care of the King's business, that the King will take care of our business. That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. Walk through that door, little church. Little flock, I have unlocked it. I've swung wide the gate of opportunity on the hinges of grace. And there's my domain and my territory. Go find my sheep, wherever they be.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I knew that. What is that song? What is the title of it? go find my sheep where'er they be. Huh? What is it? Oh, you all bear with Brother Hone and his folly. Brother Wayne, God's touched my heart for souls. No, and it does seem like there's a little crack in the door of opportunity that God's given us. And God's given us a little strength. I don't believe we've denied His name. I don't believe that we've, my friend, denied His name. And I believe we've done our best to keep God's Word. We're trying to live light, clean on the outside, and been saved by the grace of God on the inside. What's to keep us from walking through the door?
Amen.
That the King is open. Somebody said, what is His domain? Oh, the world!
Amen.
Where do you want to go?
Somebody
said, I'm like them preacher boys in South Carolina. I'll go anywhere God wants me as long as it's in Greenville. Well, I've got a burden for Greenville. I know it ain't but 256 Baptist churches in Greenville County, but you got a burden for Greenville. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray far from the shepherd's hold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, oh bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus, who'll go and help this shepherd kind. Help him the wandering ones to find, who'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, oh bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Oh, go find my sheep where they be. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, oh bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. And I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? For He has done so much for me.
Yes, amen.
How can we not go help the shepherd kind, the wandering ones to find, when the shepherd has delivered us from so great a death? How can we not extend a helping hand to those that live in spiritual death, ready to drop off in the abyss, forever plummeting in hell without God and without hope, no solid foundation to set their feet upon, no light ever to see with their eyes again, never another rose to smell, never another drop of water to drink, never another sunset, nor a sunrise, never another hand to shake. I'm telling you, my friend, eternally separated from God in a lake of fire. In all probability, this was just some special opening for a missionary enterprise. But the bottom line of it is that God had set before them an open door. My friend, that they might evangelize the lost and the dying world. And bring old sinners safely into the fold of Christ. Folks, we ain't going to be here much longer. It's about over. What we've done for Christ is also going to make any difference when we get on the other side.
Amen.
Are you listening to Brother Hall? Somebody said, well, preacher, you want us to
evangelize the whole world? Yeah. 50 people. I sure do. The 50 people evangelize the whole world. He sent 11 to do it. If He sent 11 to do it, and they had to do it on feet, no wonder. I was walking over here this morning. I walked and went in my office and went to pray. I was walking up the driveway. I was reminded of that scripture where Paul put some of his companions on a ship, and Paul said that he wanted to go ahead on foot. And I often wondered, I dated that a few weeks ago and put a date and underlined it. Now I've been wondering why Paul sent them by ship and he wanted to go on foot. And as I was walking over here this morning, that thought came to me. I said, I'm walking to the church, Lord. The Lord said, yeah, Paul walked. And I said, Lord, why did Paul walk? And He said, how beautiful are the feet of them that carry good tidings of great joy. And look here, friends, you can say what you want to say, newfangled this and that, but you'll never improve on going on foot and carrying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? They had their credentials to go. They had a little strength. They had weakened, but they still had a hold on things. I've got news for you. Island Ford Baptist Church ain't dead yet. We might come in on Tuesday nights and yawn and sit there, bless God, tired from a day's work. But just because the body and the flesh is weak doesn't mean the spirit's not willing. He didn't say anything about their flesh being strong. They had a little spiritual strength. They had still held on. Their ladies were still living right and dressing right. And their men were still living right and obeying the Word of God. They had kept the Word of God. They didn't have a whole lot of strength. I'm going to tell you something. You don't need a whole lot of your own strength when you're doing something for God. He'll supply the strength for you. Church, my question is, will we walk through it? Are we willing to reach in our pockets and give what we can give till it bleeds? And are we willing, my friend, to tell somebody next door, somebody down, hey, I got to tell you, I got to witness into my cousin yesterday. I've done told these men, they won't hurt you women to hear it. I walked in Walmart up there. Brenda had to go in Walmart, and we left seeing my daddy, and I walked through, and a fellow said, Jerry Hall. I turned, there was old Morsey Milton. You don't know Morsey. He's about a third cousin. But I got talking to him. He said, you remember the last time I saw you? And I said, yes, sir. He said, it was in 1978. He said, you know the last time I saw you before that? I said, yes, sir. I said, it was sitting on a stump in South Vietnam in the Quinyon province. He said, yeah, I remember that. And the next day I went to the hospital with malaria. He said, do you remember the time before that? I said, 1964. He said, have you got that? He gave me a picture of him in a parachute. He said, have you got that picture? He said, I'd like to blow it up. I've got it at the house. I said, Morsey, if I find it, I'll mail it to you. He said, man, I said, how you been doing? He said, oh, I'm faring well. He said, how old are you? And I said, I'm 52. He said, man. He said, I'm 53. He said, you remember when we were little kids running around Underwood? I said, yeah. He said, time's gone, ain't it? My life is over. He said, I've got grown kids and they're married. He said, there's my son-in-law. There's my daughter. My wife standing over. He said, got grown kids. He said, you got kids, understand? He said, by the way, I heard you got religious. I said, oh, Morsey. I said, you just don't know how religious I got. Man, I said, hey. He said, I can't believe how you used to live. I knew you. I said, but thank God. The Holy Ghost, my friend in love and mercy, brought me out of sin, glory to God. And because He brought me out, I've got a desire to see others brought out. Yeah. And I noticed him kind of shaking a little bit. He said, man, he said, I quit smoking and quit drinking. I said, that ain't going to get the job done, Morris. I said, do you know Christ? He said, no. And he said, Gary, he said, I take my life into my hands. He said, I made 1,500 paratrooper jumps. And he said, just a few months ago in Florida, said, we was jumping from 15,000 feet and said, a 19-year-old girl that just had to jump, 6 months pregnant. Are you listening to me? How dumb can people get? And said she fell 15,000 feet without ever opening nothing. He said, I've seen literally hundreds of them. Hundreds of them dying, plane crashes or the chute's not open, and they're gone into eternity. I said, Morris, what if that had been Morris Mill? I said, man, God loves you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Folks, I'm talking about just simply being a witness for God and walking through the open doors opportunity God gives us to tell sinners about the grace of God. Their credentials was they had a little strength. They didn't have a lot of power, but they still had a little strength. They were still holding on to what they had. While others were losing their vitality, this little church was keeping its life and was trying to reach full strength. Are you trying to reach full strength this morning? I'm telling you, folks, churches around us are caving in. Brother Ricky, and I'd already read it in the paper, brought me in a newspaper clip this morning, a Baptist church in Owensboro. They're just feeding on gospel rock and contemporary music and calling that godliness. I'm telling you, they're losing the vital power and the strength that the church has. And they're trying to coax kids in, bless God, on music. I don't mind telling you this, and if this hair lips you, you're a hair lip. But that's exactly what Sturgis has done. I hope some of them's listening. They brought a little ivory tickler boy that can play the piano thinking it appealed to the young people. And I know they've done that because they told me they've done it. You can appeal until you're blue in the face. But it takes the power of God and the presence of the Holy Ghost to bring souls into the kingdom of God. It takes Holy Ghost preaching. While they're losing their vitality and life, and churches are dying. Amen. The church at Philadelphia had held on to what little it had and was trying to reach out and get the full amount. They wanted that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These are signs of ability and a basis for possibilities. Folks, have you considered the possibility that we have at Island Ford Baptist Church? The avenues that we have to win the lost. Personal evangelism, mission, money given, the internet even, all opportunities. All opportunities. If we'll take the little ability that God's given us and apply it and see people saved. I've said all God wants me to say. Let's stand together.